North Pickenham. I think they're probably doing poo sticks. Yes, a long time ago that was, yes. Yeah. I was young then, but not now. Anyway, Pentecost Sunday. Some call it the church's birthday. This incredible event is nearly indescribable. Luke uses like and what seemed to try to give us a handle on what's happening. God knew what he was doing by sending the Spirit during the Feast of Tabernacles. Maximum coverage. Thousands of pilgrims coming to Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. This was an historic day. Until then, the Spirit had only come on certain individuals at certain times. But now, all of God's people could truly know and experience him. Encounters with the Holy Spirit are often like this, beyond all human understanding. This is why Jesus has said it was better that he left, so that God the Spirit could always be with his people. His arrival was both intensely personal. Each is enabled to speak in a language they haven't learnt. Each has something like the fire come to rest on them. And missional, they immediately declare the greatness of God to those around them. What a shock to Satan this must have been. Comprehensively defeated by the death and resurrection of Jesus, God with us. Satan now see God himself come to live within his people. The weakness of humanity that he had preyed upon for so long was going to be transformed by the power of God within them. The outpouring of the Spirit was a wonderful thing, but it needed explaining. The disciples were having a great time, but others thought that they were drunk. So, Peter steps up and tells the gathered crowd what is going on. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Is he a polite preacher? Not really. He tells the crowd that they are wrong several times over. See, Peter has learned from the master and continued the confrontational style that Jesus often used with those who thought they knew it all. The gospel is both glorious, good news, and a contradiction of what the world thinks. Let's not forget this when fear of people's reactions would tempt us to hide the truth from them. Jesus' words in today's gospel reading from John have echoes of Isaiah 51:1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. He has been speaking to the people in Jerusalem, and the authorities didn't like what he was saying. This symbolism of water is fundamental, and the temple police recognize that he is claiming to fulfill Old Testament scriptures. This is something truly shocking. Jesus tells the crowds that rivers of living water shall flow from the believer's heart, a reference to the Holy Spirit, who will fill believers when he has ascended to heaven. So what do we think it means? Does it apply to me? Well, yes, it does apply to you and to you and you. We all need the Spirit to function as a child of God, regularly asking Jesus to fill us again and again and again. Let me give you an illustration. Are any among you walkers? Yeah. Nods. Swimmers? No. Into sports, including football, rugby, and like me, golf? Well, you'll know that if you don't drink water regularly, you'll become unwell. Although human beings need food, the need for water is much more pressing in the short term. 3 to 5 days is the longest you could expect to survive without it. The symptoms of dehydration include headaches, fatigue, dizziness, and a lack of motivation, and even mild dehydration makes functioning difficult and limits what we can achieve. Contrast this with the feeling of well-being when our thirst is quenched. So it's unsurprising that we are often encouraged to drink plenty. Yes, I can hear you say, but what does drinking water have to do with God's Holy Spirit? Bear with me, my friends. Until it becomes really pressing, we often don't recognize thirst for what it is. We carry on, perhaps not feeling our best, but without recognizing the cause. We haven't realized how thirsty we are. Our concentration and output could be vastly improved, but we come to accept the limitations of operating at less than 100%. Spiritual thirst is the same. So often we plod along in the same rut. Pentecost reminds us to drink. As the frightened disciples huddled together, they were certainly in need of refreshment, and it came with a rush, knocking them for six and overflowing until it touched everyone around them. When we are feeling physically well, we can achieve so much more. We can clear the garden, give an effective speech, or get through twice the amount of work in the office. Our energy and productiveness doesn't only affect ourselves, but also those around us. We make life better for others. In the same way, if we drink the water that Jesus offers, the life-giving and empowering Spirit, our spiritual life will flourish too. The Spirit brings gifts, distributing them among the body of Christ to help us and enable us to do the work of God here on earth. But notice that Jesus invites us to come and drink. He doesn't say you have to, you must. He invites us. The Spirit is not forced upon us. As we make a conscious decision to pour ourselves a glass of water, so must we make a conscious choice to keep returning to Christ for spiritual water. The crowd who heard Jesus offering his living water were divided. They thought he may not meet the criteria for being the long-awaited Messiah. If only they had had the courage to ask. They too might have experienced the power that the disciples experienced at Pentecost. We may have our own reasons for holding back. Perhaps we are suspicious of what Jesus says. Can it really make a difference? What will happen if I put aside my fear and allow the Holy Spirit to work in me? Perhaps we would find it as refreshing as a drink of water on a hot day. Perhaps it would bring the same sense of relief. Perhaps we haven't realized how thirsty we are. Can we bring ourselves to trust, or will we continue to operate on less than full power? Let me share with you a little of my own story and how the Holy Spirit gave me a thirst for him. Way back in my church where I was confirmed and married, there was talk of strange things happening. What strange things, I asked? Different ways of worship and praying. Not for me, I thought. I haven't got time. I'm about to move away and will need to find a new church. Once we'd moved, I decided to try the local church and went to an evening service. Nothing strange about that. It was Evensong. Except I spent the whole service crying. Why? My Heavenly Father decided that the time was ripe for me to put aside any fear and convict me of my thirst for him. I hadn't realized what I was missing and the freedom the Spirit gave me to praise his name. That was the next stage in my Christian journey. So it is with us today. The Spirit is sent by the Father in Jesus' name to dwell within us. With the Spirit working inside us, we will be drawn closer to Jesus, to his heart and mind, and remind us of all that he said. Just as we see Peter transformed by the Spirit, we too will be able to do great things. In other words, like Jesus, if the Spirit is within us, it will point us towards God's will and accomplish God's work in the world. Our lives will become more Christ-like, which, as Paul warns the Romans, will mean suffering as well as glory. Our challenge on this Pentecost Sunday, therefore, is to discern the Holy presence of the Spirit within us, to pray with it, and to allow it to lead us forwards and show us Jesus. Like Jesus' death, the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost was a once-for-all event. But he continues to be at work all over the world through his people and is eager to meet with you for the first time or for a fresh infilling. You do not have to wait for a certain event or person to have an experience of God. You can meet with him right now. Ask him to meet with you today. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, Spirit of truth, come as you promised and reveal to us more of the way of Christ. Come and fill us with deeper faith and greater love. Give us the gifts we need to work for your kingdom. Inspire us with new vision and purpose, and breathe your power into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.